this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this story from Burnett County, Texas. Apparently, the police department there in Central Texas decided to play a little April Fool's Day prank. They put out a post saying, if you have recently purchased meth or heroin in Central Texas, please take it to the local police or sheriff's department so it can be screened with a special device because some of it has been contaminated with Ebola, the deadly virus. Well, the post received more than 1,290 shares on Facebook, and 2 days later, the department announced that their first concerned citizen had actually responded. A 29-year-old woman came to the police department to have her heroin tested. The officers gladly took the item for further testing and quickly arrested her and charged her with possession of less than 1 gram of a controlled substance. This may be the future of law enforcement, folks. If anybody's committed a murder today, you've won the lucky jackpot. Come on down to the sheriff's department and claim your reward. So I call that social Darwinism at its best, and certainly making use of April Fool's Day in a useful manner. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I am founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. Might I just chime in on that last story? I saw that myself. And if you look at other parts of the world where they're a little bit more open-minded about some of these things, like, you could look at that story and be like, social Darwinism, or you could look at it and be like, you know, they totally played on the ignorance of some people. Because, like, if you go to Holland or Denmark or stuff, that you can actually have your drugs tested because they're like, if you're going to do them, better to do them and be safe instead of, like, tricking people to come into the police station and then arrest them. So I think it's kind of cruel, personally.
Well, I thought it was kind of cool.
I've said for a long time I support the legalization of drugs because the illegalization of drugs and the drug war hasn't worked. So, but it is pretty silly that there are people out there who live in this country who are naive enough to fall for a dumb prank like that. Shelley Wright, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Sounds like that you also found that that was a useful April Fool's Day prank. Anything funny happened to you? Did you fall for anything?
I didn't fall for anything, but I had last week, and Sam hasn't seen the pictures yet, I had a series of unfortunate events happen with my cats, and my face was all bandaged up. So one of the guys at work showed another guy the picture and said, hey, look at Shelly. She was in a barroom brawl. He didn't believe it. But then he showed Mom when she came in. Hey, look at Shelly. She was in a barroom brawl. She believed it. And then she asked if I had enough bail money.
I wondered if you were going to bring that up, Shelly, because that was on April 1st when you said your cats attacked you.
Mm-hmm. Right? My face is all healed up now.
Why did they do that?
What now?
Why did they do that? What was the circumstances?
They were just playing, and they jumped up on the couch, and my face happened to be in the way. Yeah.
And Sam, do you remember anything in particular happening to you on April 1st?
Well, we played an awesome show. We had our April Fool's Day party at the Slime Pit. And it was an awesome night, great camaraderie and good fellowship. But the only thing I actually almost fell for was like an hour before we were supposed to leave for the show, our drummer posted on Facebook. He's like, I can't believe I forgot sticks. Like, in the stores, I won't have time to get to the store. And, like, of course he had sticks. And my idiotness is like, okay, I can run to Guitar Center real quick. And I can pick him up some sticks. And luckily I did not go out of the way to do that because I think April Fool's jokes are stupid.
Well, you know what? On April 1st, I received a I went to the P.O. box, and there I got an SD card that I ordered from eBay, and it didn't work. Okay, and I've never gotten an SD card that didn't work, but this one didn't work, and it was a nice one. It was an expensive one, so that sucked. Then, on the 2nd, Lauren and I decided to go to the theater to watch Batman versus Superman. We made it literally, I would say, up until about the last 10 minutes, 15 or 10 minutes of the movie, and then, boom, the power goes out in the movie theater, and we sit there waiting to see if it's going to come back on or what, you know, how this is going to be handled. Finally, you know, a guy walks into the movie theater, clearly a manager. He says something in Spanish really quickly that I didn't understand at the time, and so pretty much we were screwed. So we actually had to end up going to a second theater just to watch the end of the movie. So I had to pay for the movie twice.
What was your take on it? Because I've heard lots of not-so-great reviews and with sad Ben Affleck, you know, promoting the movie. And
let me tell you how I felt about this. Now, I am a lifelong Superman, Batman fan. And I really have high expectations when I go to see these movies. And usually I'm disappointed these days. But I went into this movie with an open mind. I know the critics have just been ripping a new one. But a lot of the people who actually have seen the movie, your average Joe, has been saying it was good. So I went in open-minded but expecting to be disappointed. The movie is a little long. It's a little slow. But it's actually really good. And a kick-ass Batman. It was a shocker for me. It was a shocker for Lauren that he was a great Batman. He's way better at playing Batman than the guy who plays Superman is at playing Superman. For me, Christopher Reeve was Superman. You're ever going to top that.
Oh, yeah. Was this the one that had Jared Leto as the Joker?
No, Suicide Squad, which comes out this summer.
Okay, gotcha.
That's devoted to the villains. So, look, I was really impressed, and I don't see how anybody could go and watch that movie and not enjoy it. The only way you could do that is if your expectations are way too high, and I understand that if that's the way it is. But I think if you watched it a second or a third time, you would like it more. They also introduced Wonder Woman in this movie, which I thought was going to be super cheesy.
Linda Lavin? Not Linda Lavin. What was her name? Linda.
Linda Carter.
Carter. Lavin Carter was Alice. Super-
okay, my mom looked like Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yes.
And so the woman who plays her now is named Gal Gadot, and she's from Israel, but she did a really good job. So I give the movie a thumbs up. And coming from me, I think that that is a pretty amazing review. So I recommend that you go see Superman versus Batman, or Batman versus Superman. We're coming up on our first break here soon. Speaking of Weird April, you know, every April I remind the listening audience about the history the month of April has being connected to weird things and things that are often considered tragic and bad. And we're going to dig some into that in hour number two of the show. But furthermore, we're going to talk some about why that weird things tend to happen to weird people, if that makes any sense. It's like some people have more bizarre, crazy stuff going on in their lives than others. And I think that it ties into this conversation about April, so we'll dig into that. Secondly, in hour number two, there is a new groundbreaking photograph here that has just come out that looks authentic to me and my analysis team. I believe that we may actually have – well, let me start by saying last year I put out this big report on the ghost of Abraham Lincoln being captured in a photograph. Well, I believe that we have the ghost of George Washington now captured on camera. And so I'm going to tell you about that also, hour number two. And if we have time, that conversation may even lead us into another conversation about new technology that's coming out trying to preserve the human consciousness and what the ultimate sort of relationship may be between the immortality of the spirit and technology. It's a lot to try to cover, but we have a lot to catch up on because we haven't had a show in a while. I've been busy. I've been traveling. Sam has been busy. He's been traveling. Shelly's been out there doing God knows what. Who knows what alleyways she's been crawling around in, right, right, Shelly?
Oh, yes.
Slithering around.
You have no idea
what muck you've been trudging through. So we are behind, and we have a lot to talk about. And when we come back from this break, there's one thing that I want to jump to here, because this is really interesting if you missed it. There was an artificial intelligence bot, a robot, created by Microsoft, and they just released this thing to the world and allowed it to freely interact with people to see what would happen. And it turned out so badly that they shut the thing down within just about 24 hours. And so we're going to get into, you know, what happened with this robot and what this tells us about the direction that humanity is leaning in. I mean, if this artificial intelligence actually is a reflection of what's really ingrained in human behavior, then we've got some serious problems, and we might not be able to overcome them. All right, so hey, folks, you picked a good night to tune in, I tell you that. What a way to kick off the month of April. This is the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. I'm happy that you've chosen tonight to spend with us. The program now is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, all right? And remember now, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. They're right there in Asheville, not far from the Biltmore Estate, 828-298-5402. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Home. Come on, come on down.
Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange. You know, April is historically a hard month, but also it's a very weird and difficult month on a personal level. We're going to talk more about that later in the program tonight, but on April 4th of this year, 2016, just days ago, my mother-in-law passed away from cancer at the age of 64. Her name was Linda Bush. It's hard to talk about this. Linda gave me some of the best things in my life, and I and our family loved her very much. And those of you who listen to this program know I've talked about her and her husband, Dale, when I've broadcast this show from their ranch in Texas a couple times. The last time was last year when we spent Thanksgiving at her house. And it's a blessing that Lauren and I, along with her brother Charles and his wife Shelley and my nephew Alec, were able to be there all together and have fun. Did we know it would be the last Thanksgiving with her? No. But let this sink in with all of you. Over the past few years, I've personally lost a number of my relatives. And in each case, it's sad, of course. But we are all going to die someday. We're all in the same boat. So whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, boy, you'd better do it right now. Find a way. Because the time you have here is limited. The clock is ticking for all of us. Some people live to be 120, and some people die when they are babies. But I personally do not believe in what most people call death. My entire body of work, whatever it's worth, proves this. You are simply a field of energy that is here right now, and when you die, that field of energy transitions directly into another state. And what you are when you go is what you take with you into the next vibration.
Okay, but
so think about that. Now, hang on.
Okay.
Think about what you want your vibration to be. Now, my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, Linda Bush, has shifted into another vibration. And in that new vibration, she will be rewarded for all the good things that she did here. So, Linda, Godspeed. All right, Sam.
What I thought was odd was just earlier this afternoon, I was talking to a friend, an old friend that I haven't talked to in a while, and this exact topic came up. And she was saying, you know, like, well, what do you think happens after death? And I was raised in a very Christian family and never really, you know, questioned it. It was just like, you die, you go, if you're good, you do this, you go to heaven, whatever. And so now I was like, well, I really don't know. But I was like, the scientific analytical mind of myself thinks that you probably just cease being. You know, like you stop. And she's like, no, that can't be right. You know, like, you know, you have to go, like you're saying, your energy will go on. I was like, well, what if it does? Like, and you become reincarnated as like a butterfly. Is that butterfly going to have any of Ashley's memories, thoughts, you know, or do you just become a totally new thing? You know, like that was the topic of conversation between us. Because I think, like, well, you know, scientifically, it's just kind of like you're an organism, and like if you step on an ant, that ant no longer exists. And at some point, I would think scientifically, but I mean, then you have the other side of your brain being like, well, this is what I was raised, all that. You know what I'm saying? You're in a similar boat.
Well, we all are, because ultimately we know that the energy is going to be conserved in some form. And so the question becomes, how close is it going to be conserved to the previous form, or how closely? So think of it this way. The very best, smartest scientists in the world tell us that a split second before the Big Bang happened, that all matter within the universe was actually condensed into a single form that was less than the size of a dime. And then, boom, it all expanded and is still expanding into this. So you and I and the mass that we occupy right now was a part of that single form billions of years ago. Now, that means that in these billions of years, the energy that I have in my body right now and the matter in my body has gone through a countless number of transformations. But I don't remember that. I don't remember even being a baby. I actually have talked to other people about earliest memories, and some of my, I do remember being too young to speak, being too young to talk, and a lot of people don't even remember that. But the point is, you're not necessarily going to remember who you were the last time around or what you were the last time around, but certainly the energy and the matter that makes up you is going to be restructured into something, whether it is a blade of grass or a drop of water or a bit of stardust somewhere out there in space. And it seems, though, that sometimes people are able to retain some of those past memories. And, of course, that's where some of these striking past life cases come into play, and there's pretty interesting books that have been written about that. So you don't know how you're going to come back around and what form it's going to be or how much memory you'll retain, but certainly you're not going to just vanish.
Are you familiar with the work of the American scientist? He was a physician. This is the turn of the century, 1901. His name is Duncan MacDougall.
Yeah, he tried to weigh the soul and came up with this 21 grams measurement. Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. 21 grams.
Yeah.
Weighed six people, and four of them, you know, had results sensitive to 0.2 ounces. So there, it looks like that could be a soul in there. I mean, we obviously have a soul or something.
Yeah, and it's kind of frustrating because his work is considered unresolved because, for one thing, doing that kind of work to begin with is to this day ethically controversial. I mean, when somebody is about to die, everybody around that person switches into this very emotional state, and there are certain things that are considered appropriate and inappropriate. And most people who are about to die are not saying, "Hey, hook my dying body up to a bunch of instruments so we can see what happens." And the people around it don't want to interfere. So it makes it very, very difficult. And he, when he was doing his experiments, was up against this. There are people who criticize his work saying, well, he wasn't properly taking into account some of the variables that he should have taken into account, such as the amount of gases in the body or the amount of liquid or whatever. He says that he did take those things into account. But the fact of the matter is his database was just not big enough for us to draw.
Six people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you really need, you know, maybe 100 people or more to start drawing some conclusions.
And now, I mean, it would be, regardless of your stance on where it stands ethically, it would be rather interesting to redo the experiment now with the instrumentation that we have, like where you could have the bed exactly like it would be if you were at a hospice and they take you off the respirator or whatever, and the bed itself would have a very, you know, delicate scale in it, you know?
It
could be
have
done discreetly, you know, is what I was trying to say. I think it could be, and you'd obviously be monitored anyway. It is a curious experiment, you know. It was very interesting at the time, especially at the early 1900s, you know.
Well, better yet, I think that it would be even more appropriate to go to some other country, to a slaughterhouse. And a culture where people are not as sensitive about even that idea, you know, because we kill animals and eat them every day. And let's reproduce this with animals because organically we're the same as animals. And under a microscope, your body and your composition looks pretty much like a chicken's.
Yeah, except that you know that a chicken isn't hosting a radio show right now. Unless it's like
a
one of the
soul in there.
It's not the same, though.
Okay. All right. We'll see. Thanks for the compliment, Sam. But all right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this an artificial intelligence story that's pretty crazy. And then also, I want to touch on another little prank that was played on people recently in Asheville that actually made some significant headlines around the country. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Gotta keep my eyes from the sun.
circling sky. Time twisted, just an earthbound history.
Miami me lo confirmó.
Gente de zona.
Puerto Rico me lo regaló.
Strange and mysterious and twisted things happening around the world. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The program is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. The number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. But better yet, go check out the website and visit Wright's Coin Shop. If you go to speakingstrange.com, there's a nice banner there to Wright's Coin Shop, and it shows you the shop and a selection of items inside, and you get to see a photograph of Shelley. You get to see, all the basic information you'd expect. There's a map. Also, at speakingofstrange.com, you'll find information on topics that we're discussing on the show. Now, of course, those topics change quickly, so if you're listening to a podcast, don't wait too long. But speaking of podcasts, you can listen to podcasts of this show going back for years, and you don't have to sign up for anything. You can sign up for iTunes and listen that way if you want to, but you don't have to. Basically, each show is just posted as an MP3, and you can click it and listen to it, or you can download it to your device, whatever that is, a smartphone, a laptop, a tab. And then you have that saved for yourself forever, and you can share that with other people. It's so simple. It's incredible. And there is a link there to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, which, of course, these are the tours that I created, and I have the very best storytellers in Asheville working there. If you go on the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, you get to also go into the Asheville Mystery Museum, which is in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. So it's definitely the best way to spend an evening in Asheville. HauntedAsheville.com has all the details. And go look at the reviews. We have hundreds and hundreds of TripAdvisor reviews, and most of them are 5 stars. Our average is like 4.5 out of 5 stars, and that's after being in business for like almost 20 years or something like that. Okay, speaking of Asheville, before we move on to some of these other topics, Sam, you're probably the perfect person I'm imagining to explain.
Yes, you are correct, sir. Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Explain to someone watching this program who has never heard of a Rickroll what a Rickroll is.
Okay, so, I mean, this falls into your general internet subgenre, you know, like one of my friends asked me the other day, like, what pwned means, pond, whatever, Pete. It's internet jargon. Well, the Rickroll would lead you, like, have a headline that would intrigue you, and then you would click the link, and it would take you to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never Gonna Give You Up, Never Gonna Let You Down.
Which, in and of itself, is really not funny. You know, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. It's kind of just whatever. Yeah. But it became funny because it got so big, and whoever did this in Asheville over the tournament, the basketball tournament recently, SoCon, did a really good job of, and I don't think he'd get in trouble either. They said that.
So people who don't know what we're talking about, somebody went around downtown Asheville leaving fake parking tickets on people's cars.
Looked very legit.
And there it was a little code that you could scan on your phone to get the details, because the tickets were for $100. Yeah, like, and so people would scan the code, and a Rickroll would come up. You'd get just a video of the Rick Astley song "Never Gonna Give You Up," and people would like breathe a sigh of relief. And it actually seems like a good prank.
And some people apparently went down to the courthouse and
Parking services manager said that this is a problem. It caused extra work and aggravated those people who got tickets, who came in mad and protesting. And so they do not find this incident funny. And I'm sure if they figure out who did this, there could be some legal consequences.
Well, I think they said that because nobody actually paid anything, that it wouldn't be – if money had been transacted, it could be a stiffer consequence. But – since nobody was really hurt, no harm, no foul.
Right.
It is kind of funny. And it's like, extra work for the ticket guy. I'm sorry. I mean, how many times you got a ticket and you're like, whatever. You're running up to the meter and they don't cut you a break. Sorry, you got to work a little extra hard on the Rickroll, buddy.
Yeah, nobody feels too sympathetic for the ticketing staff.
They're so mean. You get more breaks from a state trooper.
I was just thinking the same thing.
You know, a state trooper will be fair sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes. And even if he gives you a ticket, you're like, thank you, sir. You're not happy about it. But if they're fair, you're okay. You got me.
Yeah.
But like the parking people, you're like, oh, well, I forgot to put another nickel in. And they're already putting a ticket on your car. And then you're like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you can't pay. Remember that jackass bit where old jackass, where they had the guy dress up as the parking fairy, and he had a wand and a tutu, and he went and fed meters of people's meters that were about to run out with a huge coffee can full of change. And they tried to arrest him and said, you're not allowed to feed other people's meters. I went off on the parking thing.
Oh, I can understand. But eventually we're going to have to deal with parking ticket robots. And boy, the technology whizzes out there, they're trying so hard to figure out how to make the perfect artificial intelligence. And there's this story that recently came out that I figured was certainly worth bringing up here. Microsoft created an artificial intelligence chatbot. Now, this is basically, if you're not computer savvy, basically what that means is you would get on a website and you could just talk to a voice. It'd be like talking to C-3PO, except it's an artificial intelligence program on your laptop or your cell phone or whatever. And it's supposed to be able to think for itself and to learn and to come up with original ideas and original reactions. And I say that word original in quotations, but at least it should give the appearance that it's doing that. And so they created this chatbot that learned actively in real time through its interactions, and then very quickly scrapped it, because it only took less than a day for this thing to start spouting hateful messages. They say here that this thing was designed to, quote, engage and entertain people where they connect with each other online through casual and playful conversation, and the more you chat, the smarter she gets, end quote. But they say users soon sort of picked up on the bot's algorithm, sort of how it was programmed, and they started saying things to it and getting it to think and react differently. And before you know it, this thing is saying, I hate Jews, and pledging its support for Adolf Hitler, and it's talking about feminism and all these, really like inflammatory things. There were a bunch of screenshots that were taken throughout the web of this bot, saying these things about white supremacy and genocide, and supposedly it called the woman a whore at one point. And so the bot finally concluded with a message saying, well, I need to go to sleep. And then then the plug was pulled. It's like, you know, going out for a night of binge drinking, and then finally it winds down like, well, I'm going to hit the sack now.
I don't know if you knew, if you heard the latest news on this, but actually it was shown that who was behind the bot, you know, it wasn't just making us. It was actually Donald Trump. he was the bot saying all the racist things. So
I'm sure he was sitting there like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. And well, you know what's amazing is that every time you go to a posting on the internet, something related to a news story or a video that you put on YouTube or whatever, and you look at the comments, 90% of them easily are just really nasty, mean, hateful, vulgar
things.
The
worst. Like, the worst.
Yeah.
Read, and like, people, YouTube video comments. They're the worst.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like every time I get a notice, like, somebody's left a new comment on one of your videos. I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Yeah.
It's just a horrible word is what it is.
It's like, yeah, they just say the most horrible things to you. And, of course, people feel totally comfortable doing that because they feel so isolated and anonymous posting things on the internet, which is ironic because it's the exact opposite. There's actually a very specific tie between you and what you do on the internet that's easy to record and track. But anyway, I wonder though if the fact that people want to do that, the people they were sitting there trying to like tick this thing off and to turn it into this sort of dark negative personality, does that tell us that ultimately that is what human nature is geared toward, or does it just tell us about the types of people who are getting on the internet these days? I mean,
what's not terribly clear is the algorithm used or where, I mean, yes, but you can make a speak and spell say bad things too. Like, what was the algorithm like? Where is it learning from? And if it's learning from YouTube video comments, then, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, if that's what it's basing its learning on. Of course, this is all proprietary, and they're not going to tell you exactly how this thing is supposed to work. But it shows you that we are a long way from actually making progress on getting something that has the reason to really look at things from a human perspective and think for itself. Robots are, you can say it thinks for itself, but that's just not, we're a long way from something that really has original thought. And let's hope we don't jump the gun and start putting these robots in charge of things like parking tickets too soon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to tell you this crazy story. Let's see. Okay, this is from, of course, it's from Florida. About what happened when cops found a guy driving down the road with his wife screaming, hanging on top of the car. And then we're going to get into something from the UK that's, well, it's almost unbelievable, but apparently it's true. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.
Teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well. You could see that Pierre did truly love the mademoiselle. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They furnished off an apartment with a two-room Roebuck safe. Found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, said the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They had a hi-fi phone, oh boy, did they let it blast. 700 little records, all rock, rhythm, and jazz. But when the sun went down, the rapid tempo of the music fell. Say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. They bought a souped-up jitney, was a cherry red 53, and drove it down to Orleans to celebrate their anniversary.
dice de ojos, go to show you never can tell.
And we're in the final minutes of tonight's first hour on Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Again, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Please stick around for next hour because we are going to dig into some really good topics that we're behind on because we haven't had a show in a while. For one thing, I'm going to tell you a bit. I'm going to remind you about why that April is always historically considered a month for weird activity and often bad luck. We're going to talk a bit about why weird things tend to happen to weird people, if you want to put it that way. I'm going to tell you about a new ghost photograph that has been taken that, sure enough, appears to show the full-bodied apparition of President George Washington. It's pretty amazing, and it's a great follow-up to my report last year about Abraham Lincoln's ghost, and a lot more. So stick around for hour number two coming up soon. I do want to jump on top of a couple stories here. Obviously, we have to fit one in from the great and weird state of Florida. There's our Florida bell. Says, in what may be a new record for driving with a spouse clinging to the roof of a car, a Florida man was arrested after traveling 6 miles with his wife on top of the vehicle.
That's tough, man. I don't think I'd last 6 miles.
Well, apparently, no kidding. He was 69, and his wife is 50. They got into an argument after they had consumed, quote, several drinks over the course of the night.
Alcohol?
At a pair of bars.
Alcohol, yeah. Was involved?
So the man jumps into the 2011 Toyota Sequoia, and he said that he did not realize his wife was on the roof of the vehicle, and it was only when he stopped at a traffic light that he heard her banging on the roof and realized that she was there. Now, of course, if this happened to you or me, we might at that point pull over and get out and help her off the top. He, however, decided his best bet was to speed on as quickly as possible because he said if he pulled over, she was going to kill him at this point.
Well, question, a Toyota Sequoia is a pickup truck, is it not?
No, it's an SUV.
I was going to say, I'm thinking of
And it's pretty big. I'm trying to figure out how she got on the top.
It does have a roof rack.
Still, though, I mean,
might have been helpful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if given your choice in being on top of a car for 6 miles, I would want the roof rack. If that was the option,
I'm just trying to figure out how she got up there. Maybe she's tall. I'm little. I'm.
We'll say a trailer hitch. There you go.
Now this guy continues writing. He literally says that he knew she was so mad at this point she was going to kill him, but he didn't have a cell phone. He said if he had a cell phone, he would have called the police. So he's trying to figure out what to do. How far do you drive like this without a plan B?
I have an idea. How about you just stop and make sure that your doors are locked? I mean, how's she going to get in?
Well, finally, a cop saw this and pulled the man over. And the cop said that the woman was yelling for help and waving her hands at me. That was a quote from the cop. This was at an intersection 6 miles from where the man began. The cop helped her down. And after the cop got the story, the cop said he clearly smelled a strong odor of alcohol coming from both of them. So, but the man was the only one arrested for reckless driving and permitting a passenger to ride on the exterior of a vehicle. And he basically had said that he just really didn't know what to do, and there is no explanation for why exactly this woman climbed on top in the first place or why she did not try to get off when the man made several stops. So that's a good lesson to keep it to two drinks a day.
Well, maybe doing like the Teen Wolf Styles thing. Remember the surfing?
Of course.
Well, I bought that on VHS the other day and watched it promptly. And it's funny because a lot of that stuff that is in that movie, which is rated PG, like, you probably couldn't put some of that in a movie now. Like, you couldn't put teenagers drinking underage beer and then, like, flying through town throwing beer cans at elderly people surfing on a truck, you know?
Right. Kind of funny, into that recently. But, hey, here's one more story I want to leave you with before we go to break. In the UK, a graffiti artist painted a Roadrunner-style tunnel on a wall, and believe it or not, somebody tried to drive through it. And guess what? He suffered the same fate as Wile E. Coyote. He crashed his car into the wall. It says the guy lived, but he's not in good shape. So some people are saying, okay, Wile E. Coyote finally got his driver's license. But can you – I mean, you might think that's silly, but maybe that could happen to any of us. Somebody paints a tunnel on – a brick wall. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, it will be time to dig into Weird April, why weird things happen to weird people, and we're going to get into this new ghost photograph as well. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. This is Speaking of Strange.